It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 11, and we're going to read the whole chapter today, so please that you open your Bibles that you can follow along and enjoy the study today. And while you're opening your Bibles to Genesis chapter 11, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor. I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and begin to enjoy the study today of God's precious Word. It's wonderful to study God's Word and to enjoy it. So please that you come and join us today in the study. Genesis chapter 11, beginning to read with verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick, and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. And the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to building the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Now these are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old, and begat Arpachshad 2 years after the flood. Shem lived after he begat Arpachshad 500 years, and begat sons and daughters. Arpachshad lived 35 years, and begat Selah. Arpachshad lived after he begat Selah 403 years, and begat sons and daughters. Selah lived 30 years, and begat Eber. Selah lived after he begat Eber 403 years, and begat sons and daughters. Eber lived 430 years, and begat Peleg. And Peleg and Eber lived after he begat Peleg 430 years, and begat sons and daughters. Peleg lived 30 years, and begat Reu. Peleg lived after he begat Reu 209 years, and begat sons and daughters. Reu lived 32 years, and begat Serug. And Reu lived after he begat Serug 207 years, and begat sons and daughters. Serug lived 30 years, and begat Nahor. Serug lived after he begat Nahor 200 years, and begat sons and daughters. Nahor lived 29 years, and begat Terah. And Nahor lived after he begat Terah 109 years, and begat sons and daughters. Terah lived 70 years, and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran begat Lot. Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of Chaldees. Abraham and Nahor took them wives, and the name of Abram's wife was Sarai. The name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no children. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son of Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of Chaldees to go unto the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Let's begin now with prayer after we've read God's precious word. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come to study your word. It's been such a joy for all these years to come together and take this time and go verse by verse to study your word so that you may teach us your way and will, that we may be more like you, Lord Jesus. Now please, as we look at these beautiful verses, and we went through all the names, and so many people just jump from the 10th verse, and they move immediately on over to the end of that section because they don't want to read through the names. Father, we're not going to do that. We take our time, we go through them because we want to remember these names, because these names will be before us. There's a purpose for their being recorded. This is the line to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we do not want to miss one part of this. Thank you, Father, for the sweet study that you've allowed us to have. We're going to praise you for it even before we have it, because we know that we're going to draw closer to you because of it. Now, please, Father, teach us your way today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, it's such a joy to look through these verses of Scripture and to study them. And once again, we're going to go back and begin just quickly here with the 11th chapter, because we have studied this before, and we're just going to review very quickly. I want to remind you what has happened here. Man began to build, and they begin to use things contrary to what the beautiful city of Jerusalem is going to be built like. And you know, man is so pleased with what they can construct and build down here, things that they can see, cars and houses and lands that they can plant the beautiful gardens, and all those things are fine. But we need to focus our eyes, our mind, and our heart up on heaven, up on the Lord Jesus Christ, and upon what He can give us and what we can possess in Him, not what we can possess down here upon this earth. We'll notice some differences here, and we read a verse of Scripture back in Revelation last time we were together, and we won't go back there again, but I want you to see that let us take brick that is man-made. They did not take a stone. They had brick for stone. They didn't take something that God had made here. They had something that man had made. And instead of taking mortar, something that is strong and will be there, they took slime in place of mortar. And that's a good comparison of what the best that we can have here upon this earth in relationship to what God wants to give us. There is no comparison. And we went back again and looked at the cities and the pearls that are the gates and the foundations and all the precious stones and the streets of gold, everything, and how the city of Jerusalem is going to be so beautiful. We need to be heavenly minded, not so earthly minded with the things here. At the same time, some folks seem like they can be pondering on things of heaven more than being worried and concerned about the lost souls of their family that's around. And so we must continue to reach out and speak the gospel clearly. We spend much time with folks that are lost, and we seem to get ourselves tied into the things of this world so much that we forget that this life is as a vapor. It's very short. And we need to be out giving the gospel, presenting the gospel, and stop spending so much time with the things of this world. Spend the time in the fellowship with God and doing His work and His way and will. These people set out to do something, and they set out to build a tower that would reach unto heaven, the fourth verse says. And if you'll notice, if you have any reference there, that may be very high unto heaven. Their goal was they could do something that would literally replace man, replace God. And man does not bow down. He does not like to surrender. The natural man, the sin of natural man, hates to bow down before the Lord and surrender unto Him. He would rather be his own boss in his own way. Well, if that's you, you're not. You are led around by your nose by the devil himself, And if you do not serve and surrender unto God, come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him into your heart to be your Savior. Do not face your sin and confess your sin before Him. Then, my friend, you're in sad shape and don't say, I'm not going to bow down to anybody. Well, you are. You're bowing down to the devil himself. And if that's what you want, that's a decision you make. But I want you to know the difference. Please come to Jesus Christ today and be saved. Don't be a member and a worker of this operation here in building this tower. Because if you're building your great estate, your big bank account, your big house, your big cars, expensive cars, all those things, it consumes your time. You know, to enjoy those things is one thing, but for it to consume your life and be all of your life is very wrong, because then it becomes your God. And the only God of this world, of this earth here, is the devil. And so if you're bowing down to the things of this life and this earth, you are praising and honoring the devil. You are not. I don't care how often you go to church. If that's your life, then you've missed it. You need to look unto the Lord Jesus Christ and set your life for them. To have a lot of money, there's nothing wrong with it. But you better be using it in praise and honor unto the Lord, and not praise and honor to yourself for what you've gained and what you have. It was said in history that all those that had a part of building this great city and this great tower, they put their names, they sketched their names on every brick. You know, doesn't that sound familiar? That, you know, you send so much money, and I'll sketch your name on a brick, you know, and you can. It's so sad that man uses gimmicks like that, and churches even use gimmicks like that to raise money. God's people, if they are so led, will bring in the offering, the work of the ministry that you have in your local church. God will supply those needs. If you don't have the money to do it, you best check to see where you're spending your money. You also need to take a look and see that the missionaries, the ministries that you're involved in, is of what God wants you to have. If it is, He'll supply the need for it in some way or manner. He'll supply it. You don't need to have the yard sales and the Lord's acre sales, and you don't need to have ice cream socials. You have all those things to raise money. No, God's people come and they give. And that's the purpose and the support of the church. And if it's not there, there's something wrong, and you need to ask the Lord how to what needs to change that the Lord can bless and supply the needs of your local church. Now here, this was becoming their church, and they were praising themselves. They were very prideful people. They had taken things of natural things, and they have this brick they have established now, mortar they've established. Great, let's build this wonderful city. And what would have happened, and was probably in the process of happening, they were not in any way praising God. They were beginning to bow down to this tower. It would have been a god to them. And we are, just after the flood, we have just, and almost immediately here, they begin to worship and praise once again the land and man's accomplishments. And so let's look here at the fifth verse. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord came down. He wanted to see what man had built. You know, if judgment comes, don't think that there's a judgment that's ever made from the Lord's behalf. There's never a judgment that comes that He does not understand everything. And He even comes here to look, even though it wasn't required of Him to know what was going on, and yet He gave man the benefit and said, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men had built. Look at that. It wasn't the children of God. If you'll notice here why we don't have any involvement with Eber, you know, what we have here is we have the line of Ham is the one that is beginning to build this city. They are an accomplished people, a very smart people, But the problem is, as man naturally does, they leave God out. And so the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man builded. And so God never judges until he gives a good look, and here he does it. Again, notice that Eber is not around. Godly men should not be around ungodly men. That's a you if you socialize with folks that do not have anything to do with the Lord's church, with his with God himself, with a relationship with the Lord Jesus, you're missing it. And if you raise your children in an environment that is that way, you say, well, I go to church on Sunday morning. You even may go to church on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Well, I tell you what, if you go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and it's a church that preaches the truth, you're going to start being away from those other people because they're not going to want to be around you. If they want to be around you, and they have nothing to do with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the church, and they like you, there's a serious problem with your relationship with Jesus Christ. And I even question if you're saved. And so you need to look at your heart and see what your relationship is. These people come, and again, we have no record of Eber. We know that he went south of here just a little bit because we know he's down Ur of Chaldees, or leastwise that's where we run into the next verses of Scripture here when we go through those. We need to look very carefully here and realize that these were ungodly men, and if we're godly, if we walk after the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to separate ourselves from this world. These men, they set out to be equal with God. Now, at least to be level with him. They thought they could build something that would get right into the place of God, the throne of God. And we know and we see here when this building and this everything was underway that we look and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. And that's the sixth verse. Nothing will be restrained from them which they imagine to do. If you'll go back with me to Genesis chapter 6, remember some words that was spoken at in this area, right prior to the flood, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Again, we have in the other verse, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower. Here we have God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Was only evil continually. Now look at the verse 6 here of chapter 11. Again, I have two Bibles because I love to refer back and forth the verses of Scripture, and I can't do that by flipping the pages back and forth. I would much rather just have them all before me. And again, Genesis chapter 11, verse 6, the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Genesis 6, chapter 6, verse 5, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. What direction is man heading? In the same direction prior to the flood. Restrained from them which they have imagined to do. We got to a place prior to the flood that the imagination of man, his mind, his heart was evil and wicked continually, and we're on that same course because, you see, sin is still present. The same problem would come so quickly if God does not intervene. And the condition of the world prior to the flood, man would have literally killed himself, destroyed himself, if God had not intervened with the flood. Once again, he has promised, I will not destroy you by water again. And so we have here that he intervenes in a little bit different way. And God told them to multiply and to replenish the earth. But instead of that, they came together and they wanted to stay together. And so instead of us reaching out into other areas and doing as the Lord said to multiply and replenish the earth. Instead of that, they found themselves in this little area, and boy, we need to build a city because we're getting enough people now, but there's not really room right here. But please, we don't want to move out. We don't want to go anyplace else. And man was going contrary to the word of God already at that time. And to build the city was to be equal to God, to make themselves as gods. And as today, there are many things that man bowed down to, and we are to bow down to no one other than the living God, not a statue of what somebody thinks of Jesus Christ. Or we need to be so careful that we stand upon the Word of God, and that we worship the living God. We're to worship in spirit and to praise and honor His name. And so we find here that they have put their minds together, and once again, the minds of man without the presence of God brings wickedness and evil into the land. And that's exactly what happened here. And so God came and he intervened, and something happens here. Let's see, let us go down and there confound their language. Once again, we have the presence of the Trinity. God does not say, I will go down. It says here, go to, let us go down, in the 7th verse of chapter 11. Let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence, upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Now, what took place here is when they could not understand, they stopped building. Now, what they should have done naturally, they should have went out listening to the Word of God. Instead of that, they did do something that was natural, and that is something contrary to the Word of God. They did not listen to the Word of God, and they continued to build this city. And when wicked men begin to do something, God will stop it at some point in time. He let them build it. He let them work on it. And why does the Lord tarry? I mean, if he knows what's going to come, why doesn't he just wipe it off the map right there? You know, his desire is that man will turn to him. And as the preachers, the proclaimers of God's word that was before these men as they were building the city, the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior to come, the witness of God has always been present. And man has a choice. These men ignored coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and set out to build this mighty and this strong city. At a point in time, when the wickedness and the level becomes so high, the Lord comes and intervenes. We'll find later on in God's precious word here that he does the same things with the city of the valley in Sodom and Gomorrah. There are times he will come and he will destroy a given people because they have come to a place of such a level of wickedness. And this world is becoming so wicked that you wonder how long will God tarry to at least have a limited judgment. And we look at the things of this land and of this world, and it becomes more and more wicked. And when you look at the AIDS and things like that have come, it has come through the homosexuals. That is judgment. I don't care how you want to say it. I don't care how you want to talk about it. It's judgment. And so if you want to go against the Word of God, expect His judgment. It's just that simple. It may be a harsh judgment. It may be a small judgment upon you to begin with until you begin to listen. Now, in even lost people, God will tarry so long. This is God's people that are saved. He deals with them in the same manner. But with people that are lost, as the, you can't be saved and say you're a lesbian or a homosexual, you can't. If you are, you are in such a backslidden place that God will take you home, because once you're come by faith to Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. So you will not be separated from Him. But if you are, your mind is gone, and that's the only way that you can be involved in this, you are so far away from God, God's judgment. You'll find back in Sodom and Gomorrah, that was the normal lifestyle there. What did God do with that land? He destroyed it. Today the world is becoming more very, it's an acceptable thing. Well, it may be acceptable to the world. It may be acceptable to this land and this country, but it is not acceptable to God's Word. And so, if you want salvation through Jesus Christ, you want to abide by the Word of God, you want to say you're a Christian and mean it to be true, you must abide by God's Word. There's no other way. You can't make your own rules, because the very book that tells us of salvation is the book that tells us how to live. And so if you choose to live otherwise, don't call yourself a Christian. Don't go to church. Don't waste that time. You live your worldly life. You do whatever you want to do. Judgment will come, and then that'll be it. But don't confuse people by saying you can be a believer and be a Christian and do that. God came down. He saw the wickedness. He confused their language, and so the building ended. Something else was accomplished of what He asked them to do to begin with. He says, go and populate the earth. And you realize that the Scripture says here, the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. Why? Because no one understood anyone else. And so all of a sudden, the communication and that wonderful communication that they had was so strong and so mighty that they could do something that would be so wicked. So God had to take care of it so that they would begin once again to be confused. They would begin to not have the natural ways, and hopefully they would turn unto the Lord for power and for direction and for strength, instead of unto man, unto a city, unto a tower. The word Babel there is confusion. And you see, therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. You know, as we look at this and we enjoy, and we're just so close to being out of time again that we're not going to begin. We'll begin with the generations of Shem next time. I want you to understand why that the Lord had to destroy their communication. Because the level, as the communication barrier was down, man's education, man's wisdom, man's knowledge is so much directed to ungodly things, not of godly things. And so we need to look unto the Lord Jesus Christ for His will and way. And yes, He has given us the opportunity of education and all those things, but it's for His honor, for His praise, not for our own. If He has given you much wealth, then you need to praise God with that and use it for His honor and for His glory. Don't build you some big mansion here that brings honor and glory to you. You know, you can say all you want to, I've given this to the Lord for his use. Maybe that's your reason, your excuse, but unless you've turned it over to a children's home where orphan children can come in and have good care and things like that, don't tell me that it's there for God's honor and glory. It's nothing wrong with having things nice, but when it becomes our mansion here, you better check to see whether you're going to have a place to live in heaven or you're going to spend eternity in hell, because that's the choices that you have. And it all sets up on one decision, and that's your decision to come to Jesus Christ. Now, if the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart today about your sin and what you are and who you are and your needs, your desires, all these things, if He's showing you that you're wicked inside and out, I don't care how it looks like, but you're wicked if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. He can take your sin away today. Please, my dear friend, come by faith to Jesus Christ. What are you going to do about Jesus?